week by Wednesday, 30% chance of rain. Thursday and Friday, 40% chance of showers going forward. Let's look at some temperatures around the state right now. In DeKalb, it's sunny and 82. Chicago at O'Hare Airport, partly sunny and 83 at the moment. In Macomb, it's cloudy and 78. In Bloomington, Illinois, mostly sunny and 84. Decatur, partly sunny and 80. In Peoria, it's 78 degrees right now. In Springfield, sunny and 81. In Rantoul, it's partly sunny and 86. And Champaign at Willard Airport, it's partly sunny and 86 also. Right now, it's 81 degrees at Friends Plaza in Urbana outside of our studios with the wind chill. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Burlingame Home Inspection and Performance. Burlingame performs property inspections along with energy audits and ratings for Energy Star, tax credits, and efficiency mortgages, all utilizing infrared technology. More information is at cusaveenergy.com or 217-649-1173.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL. When cherished memories become memorabilia, that situation can sometimes lead to court. As Travis McDade says in this week's Legal Issues in the News segment, one high-profile case is coming up right now.
The story goes that when author Paul Theroux discovered that his longtime friend V.S. Naipaul was selling online a book Theroux had inscribed to him, he was hurt. Hurt enough, in fact, to write one of the great poison pen memoirs of the 20th century, pretty much detailing what a terrible person Naipaul is. So imagine how Theroux would have reacted if the person who sold his heartfelt gift was not a cold, curmudgeonly novelist, but rather his own mother. Next time he's in Los Angeles, he should ask Kobe Bryant. In late December, Kobe's mom, Pamela, contacted New Jersey's Golden Auctions and told them she had a lot of material related to her son that she wanted to sell. Apparently, it was just gathering dust. This included not only high school basketball jerseys, awards, and bits of sports ephemera, but also one item later described as, quote, approximately five boxes, unsorted, of papers, photographs, letters, and newspapers related to Kobe's childhood and high school, unquote. But the pièce de résistance of the Joan Crawford Mommy of the Year auction is an NBA championship ring that Kobe won with the Los Angeles Lakers in 2000 and had specially designed for his mother. While this might seem like a nice, one-of-a-kind, diamond-encrusted memento given by son to mom for love and support on the occasion of his greatest achievement, it is now just lot number five. One imagines V.S. Naipaul opining, yikes. Kobe got wind of the sale and was not happy, and while he may one day respond with a memoir of his own, he has so far responded with lawyers. They sent a cease and desist letter to the auction house and asked for the immediate return of his property. Kobe claimed that most of the items up for auction belonged to him, including, he took pains to mention, a gaudily colored surfboard he won for the 1999 Teen Choice Awards, and a trophy, both of which were, quote, last seen by me in my personal residence, unquote. That is, someone stole them. Kobe also told the court he never said his mom could sell any of these items and, in fact, had asked for some of them back so that he could give them as heirlooms to his kids. His account is bolstered not only by his wife, Vanessa, but by his sister, Sharia. She noted in a filing to the court that on several occasions their mother mentioned to her the monetary value of the many Kobe-related items around Sharia's house, in her garage, and on one occasion, on her young son's back. After they heard from Kobe's lawyers, Golden contacted Pamela Bryant, who reassured them that she is the legal owner of the items, that the auction should continue, and in any event, she'd spent the $450,000 advance they'd given her on a house in Nevada. Pamela's argument is that those things that were not explicitly gifted to her were abandoned by Kobe. She said she kept most of these items in her house for 15 years, insuring and caring for them. More importantly, she notes that about 5 years ago, she asked Kobe and his wife if they wanted this stuff. When they said they did not, she moved it to a storage unit in New Jersey that rented at some $1,500 per month. Like a lot of domestic suits, this one is not simple nor recent. The Bryants have family squabbles going back at least a decade when neither of Kobe's parents attended his wedding, so the judiciary would rather stay out of it. The federal judge who set a trial date for the middle of June also ordered a mediation session in advance of that. In the meantime, the auction house is not allowed to sell almost any of the items given them by Pamela Bryant. One exception? That championship ring, which was a gift, and is Kobe's mom's to do with what she will. Yikes. I'm Travis McDade.
Travis McDade is the curator of the Law Rare Books Library at the University of Illinois. You could hear Legal Issues in the News every Monday on Morning Edition and on the Afternoon Magazine, or listen online at will.illinois.edu. This is WILL. I'm Chris Berube, and you're listening to the Afternoon Magazine here on WILL. Stay with us. Inspired by a TED Talk, which was about interspersing your retirement throughout your life, Winston Chen said that he quit his software job and moved to a tiny Norwegian island with his wife and children. He spent the year enjoying the outdoors with his family and the winter darkness writing an iPhone app, something he'd never would have done without his self-imposed sabbatical. Kurt Nikic has of member station WBUR has his incredible story.
By all the laws of anything, Winston Chen should not have quit his well-paying mid-career job at a software company. But one day he was watching one of those online video presentations. A TED Talk by a New York designer.
He presented this absolutely irresistible idea. He said, why don't we take 5 years out of retirement and spread them throughout your working life?
Chen told his wife about it. At first, convention held them at bay.
We feel the gravitational pull of what you should do as well as anybody.
2 summers ago, they broke that gravitational pull. Chen took his family about 3,500 miles away to Urede, a small granite island jutting from the Norwegian Sea north of the Arctic Circle. Chen's wife, Kristen Botnen, was born in Norway, but she says it wasn't about returning home or leaving home.
For us, this was not an escape. We really liked our lives, but we still wanted a year where we could just do something completely different.
Completely different. Winston and Kristen and their 2 kids, 4 and 6 years old, used the daylight that burns into the wee hours of the morning that far north to explore the island of fewer than 200 residents. In their home videos, they discovered beaches so pristine they looked tropical, except the water was really cold. And they went out on the water to fish for the big cod that roamed the Barents Sea.
Holy moly!
They made chips by frying fish skin, they picked berries that bulged under the long Arctic sun, and they plucked eggs from seagull nests to cook for breakfast. It was wild, it was pristine, and it got dark. During the deep Arctic winter, the horizon held the sun down for months.
I say the northern lights are the only consolation for the Arctic winter, which is otherwise dark and stormy and cold.
I don't think that the cold got any of us, but the darkness, I think that could make any stable soul a little bit shaky.
To keep things stable, Chen mapped out an hourly schedule in a color-coded spreadsheet. Basically, a to-do list for his 1 year early retirement.
I had oil painting, photography, blogging, learning Norwegian, learning how to play the ukulele, reading long books that I haven't had time to read.
He also taught himself something new.
While the atmosphere was cordial, the men assembled were hardly friends.
He wrote an iPhone application that reads text out loud.
So part of that was occupying my time when it got dark. So I wrote it without knowing that it would ever see the light of day.
But it did see the light of day. Chen posted it on the Apple App Store under the name VoiceDream, and people started buying it. Now selling more than 500 copies a week at $10 a piece, it's sustaining the family on their return to Boston.
That's the Vosky bear.
Yeah, what is that in English?
Like a washing bear.
It's called a raccoon.
At home in their apartment, Kristen Botnen says the app did not make their Arctic adventure.
It's hard to measure success based on the end product because the process and the year that we had really was a good one.
A good year. A retirement year inserted into their working ones. 1 year that helped them find unexpected riches, personal and professional. For NPR News, I'm Kurt Nikisch in Boston.
And you can see a slideshow of the...
You're listening to WILL. I'm Chris Berube. Bob Keeshan, a.k.a. Captain Kangaroo, passed away a couple of years ago, but his legacy lives on, including his stuff. The estate of Captain Kangaroo goes up for auction in Los Angeles on Tuesday, and NPR's Mandalit Del Barco checked out the props, scripts, and everything else that's going to be sold.
If you're like me and grew up in the 1960s and 70s, you have hazy memories of Captain Kangaroo telling stories, drawing pictures, and palling around with hand puppets. He had sidekicks, the bespectacled Mr. Bunny Rabbit, a dancing bear, farmhand Mr. Green Jeans, and Mr. Moose, who told corny jokes and made ping pong balls rain down on the captain's noggin.
You know what that reminded me of, Captain?
No, what did it remind you of?
Niagara Falls!
So I got all nostalgic seeing Captain Kangaroo props and costumes on display in the garden of the Nate D. Sanders Auction House.
I remember this little kitty puppet.
Oh,
so
neat.
Cute. And there's Mr. Moose.
Mm-hmm.
You have Dancing Bear here.
Yeah.
Auction manager Laura Weintema says more than 500 items are being auctioned, most with starting bids of $250. Up for grabs are pairs of Mr. Green Jeans denim overalls and the Dancing Bear's furry man-sized costume held together with Velcro.
The Dancing Bear seems like he's seen better days.
He's a little dingy, but he's not ripped or anything. The quality of this stuff is really, really great.
Also on the auction block are scripts and awards and Captain Kangaroo's iconic red and blue pea coats.
They have the deep pouch pockets like kangaroos, so he would, you know, have little treats in there for all his characters. So, you know, you really don't need all this, like, computer animation and gimmicks, you know, to really entertain kids. You know, just need some imagination.
Weintema says Bob Keeshan's idea for the show was to make Captain Kangaroo a grandfatherly figure for children.
He was pretty young when it started, so, you know, he had a full head of hair. And they actually made him older looking in the beginning. But then as time went on, obviously he lost his hair, and then they had to make him younger looking. So we have, like, 5 toupees of that kind of, like, floppy mop top.
He was just this kind, bubbly, kind of weirdo man.
Stephanie Beard stopped by the auction house to view some of the items she plans to bid on, like the ring of keys to Captain Kangaroo's treasure house. Beard may sound like she's 5, but she's actually 31 years old and lends her voice for cartoons.
I'm kind of a third generation Captain Kangaroo fan. You know, my pop showed my dad growing up and they passed it down to me, and it was kind of a really big deal for us. Like, my grandfather made us a set of those treasure house keys, and we would play Captain Kangaroo growing up. I have a very close fondness to this stuff, and this just brings back floods.
Online, by phone, and in-person bidding for the Captain Kangaroo auction ends Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Community Blood Services of Illinois. Blood donations decrease during the summer months, but patient need remains the same year-round. There are no substitutes for donated blood, and donation takes only 45 minutes. Blood donation, it's about life. More information is at 367-2202.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 20th of May, 2013. 1609, on this day, Shakespeare's sonnets were first published, most likely without his permission, a book of 154 sonnets, all but two of which had never been published before, including the sonnet, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometimes too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometimes declines by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. As long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee." W.H. Auden became a U.S. citizen on this day in 1946. He'd moved to the United States in 1939, met his lover, Chester Coleman, in this country. shared a house in New York with Carson McCullers, Benjamin Britten, and others between 1940 and 41. When the war broke out, he volunteered to go back to England and serve in the army, but he was told that he was too old at the age of 32. It's the birthday of Balzac, Honoré de Balzac, born in Tours, France, in 1799, a writer who kept revising his novels even after they had been set in type, so they had to be reset at great expense. He was deeply in debt much of the time, wrote for 14 to 16 hours a day, drinking cup after cup of strong black coffee. In one three-year period, Balzac produced more than 20 works, produced a vast series, more than 90 novels, that he called Le Comédie Humaine, the Human Comedy. Balzac called himself the secretary of French society. Oscar Wilde once